Man Up, brought to you by Construction Professionals, a program dedicated to inspiring and helping men live lives of heroic virtue. Join Joe Stopulis and Father Zach Kowski every Monday at 9 a.m. and 9 p.m. on Iowa Catholic Radio. And now, it's time to Man Up.
Another year goes by, more leaves, more smoke.
Welcome to Man Up on Iowa Catholic Radio. We are broadcasting from the Mercy Live Up Studios, heard on 1150 AM, 88.5 FM, and 94.5 FM. Around the globe, streaming online at iowacatholicradio.com and on the Iowa Catholic Radio app. Also, please like us on Facebook and subscribe to our podcast on iTunes. I am Joe Stopulis along with Father Zach Kowski. Today we're joined in studio by Father Trevor Chiquin, and the topic will be Holy Orders and the Call to Priesthood. Father Zach, would you please open us up in a word of prayer?
Absolutely, Joe. Great to be here with you.
Happy New Year.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen. Lord Jesus Christ, you come to us daily in your word, in the Eucharist, in the circumstances of our life. You come to us in so many ways. Help us to recognize you with our heart. Help us turn our hearts to you in prayer each day. We give you honor, praise, worship today. Lord, by your coming at Christmas, you called us to reconciliation with God. Give us conversion and contrition and just a deep desire to know you and serve you. And we ask all this through Christ our Lord. Amen. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Well, we're going to talk with Father Trevor about his priesthood on the second segment, but there's a lot to cover. We had the Epiphany. We've got the baptism of Christ. We've got New Year's resolutions.
We're back after Christmas.
Where do you want to go? There's a lot to talk about in a very short amount of time.
We're back here after the holidays, too, and that's always an interesting time. I feel like, and maybe our listeners can identify, but sort of a letdown of you get through, you know, Thanksgiving and Christmas and New Year's, and it's just kind of a, maybe kind of a letdown after the holidays. Like, you kind of get the blues. And some people are very happy just to kind of go back to
regiment,
the normal. Yeah. So, yeah, here we are. It's 6 days. We'll celebrate the baptism of the Lord next Sunday, the 13th, 13th, 14th, something like that. I probably messed up the days. And yesterday was the Epiphany. So here we are, and I think there's just the idea of newness. Like, God is always calling us to new trust, new faith, to be a new Adam, a new Eve, if you will, a new version of ourself. And I think one of the things that helps me is having other people there that will help with that renewal as we begin the calendar year, having brothers in Christ, sisters in Christ that are also engaged in trying to grow. And I think one of the things we have our small group. We have
our small group's gotten larger. It's not like a medium.
It's not
it's
a small
like a medium
group
sized group. But again, we've got a handful of people who have never done Exodus 90 before, and everyone agreed that starting in 2 weeks,
yeah,
on the 21st, we're all jumping back in. So you talk about New Year's, you talk about resolutions and beginning anew. You know, we've preached in this the last 3 years now, but we can't think of really any better way to jumpstart your 2019 than to join with us. January 21st, if you start the 21st with us, we'll be you'll finish on Easter Sunday. So, I mean, last year we did that, and I just remember it was probably the most grace-filled Easter I ever had, the best Lent I ever had. Mm-hmm. We encourage you to jumpstart your new year, and if you're looking for it, that's a great way to do it.
You know, I had, on this topic of newness, I had recently got together with this young man showed up to Father Ryan Andrews' ordination, and kind of just led by the grace of God there, and he's not Catholic, but he's really interested in the church and wanted to know more. So we got together recently, and we've been talking, and so he's I think that can be another great source of renewals. People that are fired up about the faith and excited about learning more and growing.
Well, I think it'll be a great segue to our conversation with Father Trevor. Stick around; we're going to head to a short break, and when we return, Father Trevor Chiquin will be with us to talk about his call to the priesthood. I want to thank McDonald Imaging Solutions. They are sponsors of Man Up. If you were at the State Fair this year, they were the ones who provided the new tents and the Pope on a Stick fans that we used. McDonald Imaging Solutions is a family business with thousands of promotional items to choose from. They do things from labeling to marketing, printing, and provide all kinds of promotional products. Marty will personally help any business, big or small, to build their brand with corporate apparel and promo items. McDonald Imaging Solutions. building brands, attracting new customers online at McDonaldImagingSolutions.com.
Thank you, construction professionals, for underwriting our show, Man Up. Construction professionals have been long supporters of Iowa Catholic Radio, and we've seen their work firsthand. It's very impressive. They do remodeling or new construction that is innovative, functional, and designing what you want. CPCustomHomes.com.
Why give to the Catholic Tuition Organization? To help families who want to send their kids to our Catholic schools and just can't afford it. Some donors like to give part or all of their required minimum distribution from their retirement account. The 65% Iowa tax credit you receive are a tax benefit you just don't want to pass up. Ask your tax advisor or contact us online, ctoiowa.org. The bottom line, it's for the kids and their future.
Thank you to Mercy College of Health Sciences, downtown Des Moines, for underwriting our show, The Uncommon Good, with me, Bo Bonner.
And I'm Bud Marr. A degree from Mercy College provides endless possibilities. Students have access to patients with complex medical conditions, state-of-the-art medical facilities, highly motivated healthcare professionals, and classroom professors that transform them into servant leaders.
You can start the programs in fall, spring, or summer. There are endless possibilities available online at mchs.edu/kwky.
My help comes from you. You're right here pulling me through. You carry my...
Welcome to Man Up on Iowa Catholic Radio. We are broadcasting from the Mercy Live Up Studios, heard on 1150 AM, 88.5 FM, and 94.5 FM. I am Joe Stopulis, along with Father Zach Kautsky. Today we are joined by Father Trevor Shequin.
Father Shequin is a priest for the Diocese of Des Moines, one of my brother priests. Where he serves as the associate pastor at St. Francis of Assisi in West Des Moines. He studied at the North American College in Rome and also Santa Croce, where he studied liturgy. And he was ordained in 2017 in the summer, so fairly recently ordained, and joins us today to discuss the priesthood and his experience in that first year and a half of priesthood.
Father Trevor, welcome to the show.
Thanks for being here.
So first off, thank you for your priesthood. And I got to have a kind of an upfront view of you in action recently at the ordination of now Father Ryan Andrew. Just watching you on up there on the altar, pointing everyone and directing was a
master of ceremonies, by the way. That he wasn't just up there pointing. And directing.
I know, I'm aware.
That'd be a little weird.
I mean, but to watch you watch you show the bishop where to go was pretty awesome.
Well, it's the other hat I get to wear as diocesan master of ceremonies, so it's always a little amusing to see what happens down at the cathedral. But we normally pull off a pretty decent show.
It was a very good show. Everything went really well. The music went well. Just everything was perfect. It was a beautiful night, beautiful ceremony, and it went well. Obviously, thanks a lot to you.
Glory be to God.
Thank you for that. Let's start with your vocation story. Where are you from?
Sure. So, yeah.
Raised, all that good stuff.
Hometown is St. Mary's, Iowa, a little blip on the map, about 35 miles south of Des Moines. Moved there in fall of 99. Got involved with a little parish there. 110 families or so, very active in their faith. Went to public school in Faro at I-35. And really, the call of priesthood was kind of planted by the good people down there who kept telling me they thought I'd make a good priest. Got to high school and was invited to join a high school discernment group that met at the time up at Dowling.
I think that's where I met you.
Yeah, that's where we first met.
I think I was just starting seminary. Or
exactly.
What year you were in high school? Then?
2007-ish,
yeah.
Ish, we'll go with that. Yeah. And interestingly enough, that little group cranked out, what, 3-4?
I think so, yeah.
Priests? I mean,
wow.
Hats off to
several
Father Chris.
Of us, yeah,
yeah, several great. Of us.
Father Chris whom?
Fontanini.
Fontanini.
Okay. Vocation director at the
cool,
time.
Cool.
We basically came because there was free pizza. And the retired guys who also live over at Dowling came for much of the same reason. There was free pizza. And we got to, I think, see in them a glimpse of joyful priesthood, of guys with different backgrounds, different interests, different hobbies. I mean, you always had to keep one eye on Father Kiernan or he'd be out there working on your car while you were eating dinner. And kind of through their example and through the example of these other guys who are gathered there, it just seemed like the natural step. Was seminary after high school, so I got sent up to St. Pius X Seminary at Loras College in Dubuque.
Mm-hmm.
3.5 years later, finished up there. Bishop, to kind of have some fun with me, I think, told me I was going to Rome. He said, well, you'll go to Italy in July to do Italian, but I want you to go to Guatemala first for 13 weeks to do Spanish. So that was a fun year.
Wow. So what did you do in Guatemala? You were...
It was a Spanish immersion living with Benedictine monks, and did 7 hours or so of one-on-one Spanish tutoring Monday through Friday.
Wow, that is intense.
It was an interesting time.
So you're fluent in Spanish and Italian.
Well, the Spanish, I can hear it, I can read it, I go open my mouth and more Italian comes out because I spent 5 years over in Italy. Yeah. So I went over to the North American College, was in residence at the North American College, finished essentially my master's at the Gregorian University in 3 years, run by the Jesuits, and then Bishop asked me to undertake a course of study in liturgy to get what's called a licentiate. It's an old European degree that's kind of between the master's and the doctorate.
Okay, so it's one of my questions for you. The bishop said, hey, you should go do this. Were you interested in liturgy at the time? I mean, there's a lot of questions that are leading up to this, right?
Right.
Signing you to be the liturgy guy. How did that work?
In some regards, I was a musician. I had my undergrad was dual undergrad in philosophy and liturgical music from Loras, and I think Bishop,
a lot of those cranking out of Loras, a lot of dual philosophy,
not a whole
and
lot.
Musical.
And Father Trevor, you play the organ.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah.
You still play?
When I can, you know, try and sneak over to a couple of our parishes that have pipe organs and. Hopefully they don't notice the glaring sound coming from the sanctuary. But yeah, Bishop, when I was home over summer between my, I think it was second and third year in Rome, called me and basically said, I'd like you to go for licentiate in liturgy. I said, okay, that sounds interesting. I was glad he didn't ask me to do canon law, so I jumped on liturgy.
Okay, awesome. And today, what are your roles with the liturgy today on the diocesan side? What does it look like?
Interesting at the moment. You know, we're without a director of worship. Kim Mandelko left us for Greener Pastures in Milwaukee.
Milwaukee. Okay.
So I'm part of kind of a team that's pitch-hitting things at the moment. I think one of the clear roles we can say I have is I'm the diocesan master of ceremonies, at least for the moment. And then right now, heavily involved with the planning and execution of all diocesan stuff, liturgically speaking.
So growing up, you know, you'd mentioned that you went to church. Were you once a week or on Sunday as a kid? Were you handful of daily masses in there? What was your...
Well, bear in mind, we're talking about a rural parish that only has one mass a week. So I was once a
at
week.
At best, once a week, yeah.
Consistently once a week, nearest daily mass was in Enola. And that was the wrong direction from school, 20 miles the wrong way. So faithfully once a week. But I think that was something that, you know, had we had daily mass, I would have been there.
Okay.
Put it that way.
Got it. Okay. And then during your discernment process, and I talked about this with Father Ryan as well, which is, you know, you go there truly discerning, is this the call?
Sure.
Am I being called to the priesthood? At what point during college did you say, this is, okay, yep.
Yeah, I think I arrived at what, in seminary terms, they call presumption of permanence. So the candidate basically says, I think I want to do this, and I'm going to go for it until they tell me to quit.
So that's a James Downey thing, right?
Yeah.
I feel like he was one of those as well. Okay.
I probably got to that point sometime in my junior year of college seminary.
Okay.
And then had to carry on for another, 6 years, and then got extended by a year in school.
Got it.
So when you're growing up down in St. Mary's, who were some of the priests that were influential?
We had kind of a whole host of guys through. We had Father Wayne Goebbels, then Father Dan Credick, and then we were about maybe a year or two without a stable pastor. So we had a whole slew of priests from Father Ray Higgins to...
My new pastor, Father Ray, yeah.
Uh-huh. To Father Marty Chevalier, who were just kind of through maybe in 6 months or sometimes even 6 week increments. So that was, in a strange way, that was inspiring to see the real need for priests because, good Lord, we can't get a pastor here. And then finally, while I was at seminary, after I'd left for seminary, Father Ray McHenry was named actually the first pastor of the parish in probably about 20 years.
Wow.
The rest had been administrators.
So now he is your pastor.
Now he's my – we have a good laugh about that.
Yeah, that's great. So as you're going through seminary, this is kind of one of the things I really wanted to get to. You know, you've been ordained a priest now a year and a half. And as you're going through seminary, what were some of the things you were most looking forward to doing as a priest?
I think certainly the sacraments would top that list, as it would for most guys, celebrating with and for the people of God. And then I just accompanying people in their journey of faith to see the remarkable faithfulness that is lived out in a variety of different ways in the lives of our folks really is quite inspiring.
So you're looking forward to that. You're looking forward, mm-hmm. to obviously the sacraments. You get ordained in 2017, and since then, are there things that have really stuck out to you as, man, this is way different than I thought, or, you know?
Got ordained June of 17. I kind of have a unique track since ordination. I was ordained knowing I was going to have to go back to school.
Mm-hmm. Now, you were ordained a transitional deacon in Rome.
In St. Peter's Basilica, yeah.
And who did the ordination?
Cardinal O'Malley, Sean O'Malley of Boston.
Okay.
And then was ordained.
And that was in St. Peter's Basilica.
I was in St. Peter's Basilica, yeah. At the altar of the chair all the way in the back.
Mm-hmm.
Ordained a priest here in the diocese June of 17. Then, knowing I would go back, yep. to finish this liturgy degree, right? So I was expecting a nice, quiet, temporary assignment. Bishop sent me out to be kind of the temporary pastor, if you will, out in Atlantic and Anita, where they were finishing a major building project. Didn't expect to have to kind of be involved with the building project right away. But that was a wonderful experience. In many ways, what I'd been hoping for and looking forward to, a small rural parish. Then went back for studies and lived for a year as a student priest. I never expected to live as a priest outside of a parish. And so that was a remarkable experience.
Had you a year of that?
An academic year, September to June, yeah.
Yep.
And I'll say, I went over with a friend of mine last year. It's been a little over a year while you were there. And it was, so we were visiting. We hung out a lot, got some great dinners, and had some good times over there. I was thinking as I was over there, it's really good that we have a priest of our diocese is living in Rome with our seminarians, get to interact with him, and I think that's a really big encouragement for them, you know, to see a priest from our diocese.
It sure was a blessing, and, you know, to be a young priest in the city of Rome was cool, too. I managed to get Mass in three of the four major basilicas. It's kind of hard to get an altar at John Lateran. Never did manage that. But, you know, to be able to celebrate Mass on the tomb of St. Peter near the tomb of St. Paul, and then at Mary Major, the oldest church, really still standing, and, you know, right near the crib of Bethlehem there, was a great blessing.
So you get back here basically in June.
Exactly.
And so since then, you've been in more of a traditional role. You're an associate pastor at a parish. Again, you were looking forward to celebrating Mass, celebrating the sacraments, and helping people. Mm-hmm. Anything that's been majorly different that you thought going into priesthood? Anything? Man, didn't expect this to happen.
I think the amount of behind-the-scenes work that is done in the office, especially, you know, you consider a place the size of St. Francis, we've got just about, I think, 3,600 families. Wow. It's 11,000 individuals. The amount of work it takes to keep a machine like that running, that folks would see.
It's like a small town.
It's exactly 100 times bigger than my hometown. You know, it really is amazing. And in some regards, the priests, while we obviously take care of the sacramental role, become kind of the behind-the-scenes folks who make ministry happen. On the ground that so much has to be done in a case like that by the laity, we, in some sense, have to enable and guide them in that work. So it's a lot of behind-the-scenes work, busy days, which is good. Keeps you out of trouble.
You know, it's funny. At the installation mass of Father Higgins, the bishop, you know, made a joke, something along the lines of, you know, since Father Ray only works on Sundays, you know, you have lots of time, you know, obviously realizing that...
Yeah.
The behind-the-scenes stuff of a priest is extraordinary, the amount of work you guys do. Especially, you know, I know Father Zach's schedule. I know how crazy it gets. So,
and I think that's one of the joys of the priesthood is you never know. I mean, you know, but you never know who's going to reach out to you that day or what's going to happen in a day. And I think that's, you know, our prayer life is so important, especially beginning of the day with prayer and just being sustained by that prayer life, because it's an adventure. Every day is an adventure. And some days are really, really tough, and some days are lots of joy. And I think we kind of go between very sad situations, very happy, everything in between. So it's kind of a roller coaster, emotionally, spiritually.
Do you have any highlights then? Again, you could bring back all the way since 2017, but any highlights? You say, man, these are some moments that really stick out to me as to why I want to be a priest, and this is, you know, these are the most joyful moments or important moments.
Yeah, you know, I think too, maybe, you know, I was able to confirm a gentleman on his deathbed in Atlantic.
Wow.
That was pretty powerful. A fellow with some special needs who, for whatever reason, had kind of fallen through the cracks over the years, so able to, you know, give him all the sacraments right before he died. That was a powerful moment. And then you know, moments of being present to folks, to be, you know, I think just walking with people, a lot of it's very, you know, would be very personal stuff, you know, that stands out, you know, maybe a couple particular funerals, couple particular, you know, weddings as well that come to mind, you know, just really having been there in the lives of people in privileged situations.
You know, earlier this last year now, my grandfather passed away, and he passed away on, I'm going to mess the dates up here a little bit, let's call it Thursday, or it might have been Friday, I think it was maybe Friday he passed away, and then we had a wedding on Saturday, which means we then had the visitation on Sunday and the funeral on Monday, and the same priest walked us through all of the lows of last rites, which were, I think, administered on Thursday night. He dies Friday, and then we had the, you know, rehearsal dinner on Friday, and then we had the sacrament of matrimony on Saturday, and then an actual funeral. And just to see this man walking our family, you know, big family, through all these highs and lows over the course of 5 days was, I always kind of go back to that, like, this is what a blessing it is to be a priest, to be able to do this with somebody. It's a unique thing that basically no one else in society can do that. And so I anytime I hear a priest talk about that, I now have an example stamped into my mind of someone being able to walk you through those highs and those lows. I know Father Zach has had a lot of those. You know, Dowling, you guys, you're ministering to a new crop of children.
Young people
every year.
All the time.
Yeah.
And you're not just doing it for the kids, but their parents as well. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, a lot of the blessings you've gotten from that.
Yeah, so Father Trevor and I both work, I think, with a lot of young people. I work at the high school, and St. Francis is very young parish. And so one question I'd have, you know, with regards to liturgy, since you kind of studied that, how do we re-engage young people in Mass? You know, because that's always the challenge we have with, you know, look at different studies, but declining Mass attendance or parents maybe that don't want to go. But how do we continue to engage them?
I think it, to some extent, it has to be a twofold approach. One, we might talk about mechanics. So I think that gets to, we want quality liturgy done well with good, appropriate music that really supports the prayer that goes on at Mass. So that's kind of there's a mechanical aspect to this. If Mass looks thrown together at the last minute, folks aren't going to come. They're not going to engage. We need to make it worth their time to be there. And then I think there's also a catechetical side to this that, and really that boils down to helping people understand that in the Mass they have a personal encounter with Jesus Christ, and helping them build that personal relationship with Christ. Because if they don't believe in their heart of hearts that our Lord is present in word and sacrament and offers himself to them in a special way in the Mass, then it's very hard to sustain that week in, week out attendance. So I think it's a twofold dimension. It's a mechanical dimension and it's a catechetical dimension.
So let's talk a little bit about the mechanics. First you mentioned, as a young priest, as you're going around the diocese, and, you know, I observe things too, but what is it that young people want to respond to with the liturgy, with just on the mechanics side?
Yeah, I think that often they respond to beauty. And Pope Benedict really hit the nail on the head here, and he talks about the beauty of the liturgy in his writings. They want to find something that's lasting, because we have grown up as a generation with things that come and go, very quickly fed. So they want something that's lasting. They want something that's transcendent, that's going to point beyond just this world. That's why often we speak of, sure, the Mass might look like a meal, but it's a sacrifice. And I think there's, the more we underline that dimension, the sacrificial dimension of the Mass, that it puts us in contact with, you know, the whole heavenly host. And then they want something, that's beautiful. So whatever we can add not add to the liturgy, but of all the various options available to us, whatever we can use, be it, you know, incense, chant, anything to make that a more beautiful, moving experience will get folks willing to invest in it.
Yeah, very nice. I have two final thoughts. We've got about a minute and a half left. You met Pope Francis. What did he say to you?
Yeah, met the Holy Father the day before I was ordained a deacon, and he looked at us and he said, pray. Told us to pray the rosary. So,
did he say that in English? Or
he actually said it. He did say in English, and his English is not very good, and we told him, we said,
did you tell him that?
Holy Father, no, we did not tell him that. We said, Holy Father, we all speak Italian. And he said, I want to say this to you in English so that
you remember.
And he said, pray.
Pray the rosary every day. And then in Italian, he kind of explained himself, and he said, I'm going to give you one, so you better do it.
All right, so then you've done that, I hope. Okay, the next thing would be your last piece of advice. Anyone that might be discerning priesthood, of our listeners, any advice you have for them?
You've got nothing to lose and everything to gain. Pray about it. Talk about it, because it's a communal vocation. It's not a vocation of me. So it needs to be discussed either with, you know, probably with a priest, you know, either be your pastor or Father Ross Parker, our great vocations director. Pray about it, talk about it. You've got nothing to lose and the world to gain.
Father Trevor, thank you for joining us. You know, I see you and a lot of the other young priests out here, and I see joy. I mean, you guys all exude joy, and it's great to see, and I think that's the example that we need to have for other young men coming up, to see that this is a life of joy and of service. And as you mentioned, there's a lot of things of helping people and the satisfaction that comes from that. So again, thank you for your yes.
Good to be with you, gentlemen.
All right, we're going to head to a short break, and when we return, we'll be back with Father Zach to wrap up the show.
Is it time for a new roof? Then it could be time for you to get to know Bell Construction. Bell Construction is a roofing company entering its 30th year of business. They specialize in residential re-roofs, light commercial jobs, and have the experience to meet all of your roofing needs with personal service. With Bell Construction, the owner will come to your home or place of business in person to inspect and ensure the quality of work that you deserve. They pride themselves in working with you on a personal basis and making sure you are satisfied. Bell Construction, 515-963-4494.
Why give to the Catholic Tuition Organization? To help families who want to send their kids to our Catholic schools and just can't afford it. Some donors like to give part or all of their required minimum distribution from their retirement account. The 65% Iowa tax credit you receive are a tax benefit you just don't want to pass up. Ask your tax advisor or contact us online, ctoiowa.org. The bottom line, it's for the kids and their future.
My help comes from you. You're right here pulling me through. You carry my
weight. Welcome back to Man Up on Iowa Catholic Radio. Father Zach and I just had a great conversation with Father Trevor about his call to the priesthood and kind of his reflections on the first year and a half. Any thoughts you had on that?
You must have questioned him too much, because he ran out of here, bolted out of here. He had somewhere to be, so
I think he had to go.
I don't know if you scared him. Yeah,
I think he had to do. But yeah. Yes.
So no, it's always great seeing Brother Priest, and I think one thing that kind of a takeaway for me is how much the liturgy teaches us about God, about the nature of God, about our relationship to God, and teaches us about ourselves as well. So I kind of thinking about that with hearing Father Trevor is, you know, really the music and everything we do in the liturgy teaches us, you know. And so I think to always kind of dig into, when we hear music, when we hear preaching, you know, what's the message here? You know, what's being taught?
Last year I read a great little book that's a favorite of Father John Ricardo's called What Happens at Mass, and it's by Father Driscoll, I believe. And it helped me to understand and dive deeper into what's going on in the Mass. And I think all of us as Catholics, the more we can understand what we're entering into, the more we're going to get out of it. So the more you give, the more you try to learn, the more you're going to get out of it. And I think obviously Father Trevor and his emphasis on the liturgy, how much we can learn from that. Well, thank you all for joining us today on Man Up on Iowa Catholic Radio. For Father Zach Kautsky, I am Joe Stopulis. It's time to Man Up.
Man Up, inspiring men to live out their call to holiness with Joe Stopulis and Father Zach Kautsky. Heard Mondays at 9 a.m. and 9 p.m. on Iowa Catholic Radio. Brought to you by Construction Professionals.